Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Let's pray for that day. Listen also as the words are sung. Reading from John chapter 8, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, Say we not well, thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. And ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's give thanks again for these words. All of God's word are perfect. All of God's words are needed. We are told by Moses and by Christ that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. These are only some of them, but these are words that we need. Let's pray that they will be applied to our hearts. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ, and we pray that because of Christ, Thou wilt hear us and receive us and give us what we need in all things, beginning with repentance, and then that blessed faith that saves, and through it, a pardon, the forgiveness of sins, and also the adoption into Thy family, and receiving Thy Spirit, that we can say, Abba, Father. We pray, Father, that through Christ, we might also believe the whole truth, and that we will obey the truth, that we will, in the church, make the truth known. As David could say, after he cried out, Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In Psalm 51, Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We pray that we might be brought through all of what is needed in repentance, in faith, in obedience, and reviving, that the church might again be a salt and light in every nation and throughout the world, that we will no longer be a salt that hath lost its savor, only good to be trodden underfoot of men. We fear, Father, we are there, left in our carelessness, in our lukewarmness, and we pray that Thou wilt not bring us to judgment or spew us out of Thy mouth, but rather bring us to a reviving. We pray that Thou use these words for each one of us today, that we might know Thee in fullness and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may know Thee in truth, the truth of Thy word. We pray also, Father, that many might be given the temporal blessings that are in suffering, hunger, homelessness, persecution, war, the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for others that are in need, the older age, the weakness that is there, the schools, the workplace, the government, our leaders, that Thou would put Thy fear in all of our hearts, our leaders and ourselves, that we might have the beginning of wisdom, and we might, as a nation, return to the ways of wisdom through Christ, who is our wisdom. Amen. Looking at this statement of Christ again, as recorded in John chapter 8. Last week we looked at verse 45, And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And then in 46 we read, Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. What a solemn statement. Because you are not of God. In one way, that's true for all of us in the beginning. Terrible if we're left without hope and without God in the world. And these people were. At another time, in one of the other Gospels, we read toward the end of his life, He gave them this question, How will you escape the damnation of hell? And earlier in this chapter, we read, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, He speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And then Christ said, as we saw last week, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. The truth hurts. Often we don't want to face the truth. We deny it. I didn't do it. No, I'm not guilty. Almost everybody that is caught by law officers and law enforcement going to court pleads not guilty. That is, sadly, the advice lawyers often give to them. They make liars of everyone they think they're helping if they would only admit the truth. How often I've seen it in court, how much it is better. I've seen people that were guilty of assault and threatenings, walked out of court without any sentence, just free. They admitted their guilt. I've also seen where some did not want to admit their guilt and had to have counseling for a long time because evidently the court thought they didn't know their guilt. They had to be taught. They had to still be brought to that right place, and sadly they weren't there. And the Jews not only didn't believe Christ, but as he said later and recorded in John chapter 15, he said, they hated me without a cause. And as he said earlier in his ministry, every one that does evil hates the light. Yes, we hate the light, we hate the truth, but God is truth, and the Lord Jesus is himself as well, the way, the truth, and the life. We have those words many times of truth in verse 14 earlier in this narrative. Let's remember this was given here in the temple in verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman taken in adultery when they had set her in the midst. We may consider that another time. It was scribes and Pharisees. The scribes were the teachers. The Pharisees were the strictest sect of the Jews at that time. We might call them the conservatives. We also read in verse 13, the Pharisees therefore answered him, thou bearest record of thyself. That record is not true. They were very much the leaders in being self-righteous. They were the ones that washed the outside the cup. They were the ones to whom Christ would say, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. The more we know, the more danger we are of being hypocrites. If we are hearers of the word and know it in that way, but are not doers, what a terrible thing it is. We are worse off. To whom much has been given, much will be required. To whom little has been given will be beaten with few stripes. To whom much has been given will be beaten with many stripes. I stand very guilty if I don't believe rightly the word I speak, and if I don't obey that word. I'm more guilty than you that are hearing it. But in hearing it and knowing it, we all are far more guilty than those that have never heard it. They are without excuse in nature, but will be beaten with less stripes than we who know these blessed things. This is truth. We read in these different places here, verse 14, Christ said, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. My record is true. That's all he ever spoke was truth. In verse 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. In the Old Testament, there had to be two witnesses if they were to put a person to death. They couldn't do it by one witness. But two was believed that it would be true, whatever they would say together. And Christ said, you bear witness of that. It's written in your law. There has to be two witnesses, and then it will be believed. He and the Father are one in the truth. Verse 18, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. God has said at times while Christ was on earth, from heaven, they heard the voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When it happened, some said it thundered, but others knew it was God speaking of Christ, his Son. In verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. And if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We need to believe the truth, or we die in our sins. It's that true. It's that solemn. Let me say it again. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Twice in that verse, you shall die in your sins. That'll be forever too late. Everyone after death will know the truth. But dying in their sins, they'll remain under the terrible punishment of sin. That's why we preach the gospel. There's a man that I talked to that doesn't believe the Bible, doesn't know if it's true. One time he says, you want me to go to hell? I said, no. I may convince you, or try to convince you, that you are on the road to hell if you don't believe the truth. But I want you to go to heaven. That's why we come and talk to people, calling them to repentance, calling them to faith, telling them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Then he kind of smiled and he realized it was true. We need to make people know the guilt, know they're going to sin. Christ was doing that. He was telling these people here, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. But they didn't want to know the truth, and they hated him because of it. And again, as we said last week, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. If he would have deceived them, if he would have flattered them, they would have accepted him. But now he said, you believe me not. They would not receive him. The Gospel of John begins with that in the very beginning of his writing. Verse 8 of the first chapter. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then these sad words in verse 11 of John chapter 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Terrible. Isaiah said, when they saw him, there was no beauty that they should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. How sadly true of all through history, and including myself. There was that day that I rejected the Lord Jesus as he came in truth. Another Jesus that we can conform to our own thinking, our own ways, our own doctrine, we will receive. But not the true Son of God, one with the Father. Going on here, verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world these things which I've heard of him. There he's telling us the Father is true. Yes, the Father bearing witness of Christ, there was a true witness. What Christ said was true. And here he said, what the Father said that sent me is true. When he prays to him later, shortly before he died, recorded in John 17, he said, this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God. There are others that are named and say, such and such is God. But there's only one true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Father of Him. And because He is Father, the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. That is truth. And if you don't believe the truth, you will die in your sin. That is the truth that must be believed. As we read those sad words in John chapter 1, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But that is not the end of what John wrote. We also read, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Some people want to think it's because of our choosing, and only quote that 12th verse. But the 13th verse is part of the same thought, which were born not of blood, not because you're born of Christian parents, not of the same blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. And listen to those last three words of John 1:13, but of God. In verse 47, we read from John chapter 8, He that is of God, born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And then Christ is saying here, it's the same as what John said, He that is of God heareth God's words. When we're born of God, we're born again. We're born again so we can see the kingdom of God through the Word of God. We can then be born of both the Word and the Spirit. And we need that. We need both. We want into the kingdom just by having the Spirit. We want into the kingdom if we have only the Word without the Spirit. Another way that it could be stated, along with, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Lydia had her heart opened that she might give heed to all that Paul spake. When Paul writes to Titus, he calls it the washing of regeneration. Some people want to say that's baptism. Not really. We can be baptized without having regeneration. Especially the Church of England wants to make baptism a regeneration. But that is not necessarily true. Some want to say that baptism came in the place of circumcision. If we go back to who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, Ishmael was born of the blood of Abraham. When Hagar conceived by Abraham, he was born of that blood. But he was not one in the faith with Abraham, not either with Isaac, his half-brother. When Paul writes later to the Galatians, he says, Ishmael persecuted him who was born of the Spirit, not of blood. Jacob and Esau, not only the same blood, but twins, conceived together in Rebekah's womb. But one, we read, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Yes, we're hated because of our sin. God hates sin. In Proverbs we read these six things says God hate. And they are listed there, but they're all sin. And God hates sin. One of the things in that sixth chapter of Proverbs is hands that shed innocent blood. God hates many in our nation who are guilty of shedding innocent blood. We enlarged on that last week, and I want to go back to that again, but you know who they are. I read of a nurse this week who was pro-abortion. Then she saw a doctor murder in a partial birth abortion. Saw him stab that baby in the neck with the scissors. Saw him draw out the brains out of that head to make it compact more. I hate to even say it. It's too hideous. And some people don't want it heard. They don't want it said. But they want it done. They want the right to do it terribly, and God hates it, and there's punishment coming, possibly on the whole nation, It's a terrible thing. Go back to verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. We as a nation are not hearing God's words. There's too many that are not born of God. They receive Christ because they are born of God. Here, he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. We need him who is the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord Jesus, and we need his Father from beginning to end. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, men, people, and their sin, children of disobedience, even as others, and then, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, wherewith he quickened us together with Christ. That's being born of God. The word evidently was preached. The Spirit was there with it. And it was in Ephesus, much like in Thessalonica, where Paul says, we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. When we read, he that is of God heareth God's word, generally we think of it as the Father, but it is equally true of the Holy Spirit and equally true of the Son. We go back to John chapter 5. We read there, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And then listen to that 28th verse of John chapter 5. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There, it's at the day of judgment. They will come out of the graves because they hear his voice. But there's hope before that. Go a little bit earlier in this same chapter, chapter 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. How wonderful! Now is. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Our time is gone, but I hope that happens to you and me now. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We must hear from God his voice today.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.